Remarks of the President, Fargo, North Dakota, 29 September, 1952.
The ruffles and everything that's coming to the President of the United States. You must have had breakfast pretty early this morning.
So did I.
Oh, sure. I have breakfast and we get up.
Well, I would like to go watch. If you can stop long enough, I would.
Well, my friends, I can't tell you how highly complimented I feel that you'd turn out at this time of day in this tremendous number to see a man who's not even a candidate for office. I appreciate the fact that I've been introduced by the Democratic candidate for Congress, Mr. Niesemeyer, and I want to urge you with everything I possibly have that the safety of the country depends on your voting the Democratic ticket on the 4th of November. That's what I'm going to do. This is the beginning of what the newspapers call a whistle stop trip. You know, that phrase was invented by Senator Taft back in 1948, and I'm sure he wishes he hadn't said it. The Republicans are trying to make fun of my efforts to take the issues in that campaign directly to the people all over the country. And I took them there, and the people understood me, and they believed me. They found out, the Republicans did, that it wasn't so funny after all. And they haven't been able to crack a smile since. A lot of people came out to meet the train 4 years ago at this place. And I told him the truth about what is going on in Washington. And when November came, they voted right. And I'm sure they're going to vote right again when they get a chance. This time, I'm not asking you to vote for me. But that isn't going to make one little bit of difference. I'm still going to tell you the truth about your government. And about the Republican record, too. And when I get through, I think you'll have a lot more about both subjects then you can learn from the one-party press in this country. You know, I've been running for office and being elected for 30 years, and I never had the press with me in my life. And if they'd get with me, I'd know I was wrong. Now you're going to get the facts. And when you do, I know you're going to elect Adlai Stevenson and John Sparkman and a real Democratic Congress. That's what this country needs worse than anything. Adlai Stevenson will be one of the country's greatest presidents. He has everything that's required for the presidency. Great ability, experience in civil government, humility, and a deep feeling for the everyday man. Governor Stevenson has been making the issues clear in this campaign. And I hope you've been listening to his speeches. And I hope you've been reading them too. If you have, you know he's been talking straight from the shoulder about the problems that face this nation and about the great decisions that will have to be made during the next 4 years. I'm sorry that his opponent is not doing the same thing. The Republican candidate for president says he's going to try to win this election by appealing to the people's emotions and not to their intellects. That's why you won't find anything in most of his speeches except slogans and generalities and scare words. I think it's insulting to the American people to tell them They make up their minds according to their emotions and not on the basis of the great issues that are before them. Now on this trip, I'm going to talk facts and I'm going to talk issues. And I'm going to talk about every phase of our domestic and foreign policy. And I'm going to talk about the record of my administration in terms that everybody can understand. And you people today, and the historians in years to come, will find that the record of the administration of Harry S. Truman is a pretty good one. The last 4 years have been years of fighting for peace in the world and working for a strong and prosperous nation here at home. And they have been successful. We've crushed the communist conspiracy in this country, and we stopped the advance of communism all over the globe. We moved into Korea to make it plain to the Kremlin that the free countries of the world don't plan to engage in appeasement. For we've learned from bitter experience that appeasement is the road to total war. The communists have been stopped cold in Korea, and the communists haven't crossed another frontier since anywhere in the world. At home, we've made great progress in a mighty program to strengthen our national defense. We're in much stronger position now to bring about a just and lasting peace than we have been before. And while we've been carrying out this great program of combating communism and building strength, we've maintained the prosperity and the high standard of living, which have become almost synonymous with having democratic administrations in Washington. So the record is good. But in spite of this, the democratic administration is being subjected to the most abusive, intemperate, and vicious campaign we've had in years. The Republican Party has launched a crusade, they call it, to exterminate Democrats by propaganda and lies and slander, by any means, fair or foul. Now, why is this? It's because that so long as I've been in office, I've been fighting for the common man. I've been fighting against the special interests, and they're out to get me and destroy all I've done. They're not going to succeed, though. Now, who are these special privileged groups that are behind this vicious attack? Who are the groups behind the Republican candidate pulling the strings? I'm going to tell you. First, there's the power lobby. It wants to do away with the low-cost public power. There's the grain speculation lobby that doesn't want the farmer to get the price of the crops he raises. There's the railroad lobby that's been jacking up your freight rates in North Dakota and fighting tooth and nail against the St. Lawrence Seaway so you can't get the right kind of freight rate. And there's the real estate lobby that wants to gouge everyone who needs a home to live in. There's the rich man's tax lobby that's always trying to open up tax loopholes for the wealthy. And there's the tariff lobby that wants to raise tariffs so they can pick up some extra profits for themselves, even though it means losing the world market for your grain. In short, it's all the special privileged groups, from the oil lobby to the China lobby, and they're all joined together behind the Republican Party, and I'm glad they're in the Republican Party because I'm going to tear them apart before we get through. Now, what has this holy crew decided to try to make the big issue in this campaign? They seem to be putting most of their effort into a terrific drive to make you believe that your government is full of corruption from top to bottom. Let me tell you what the truth is. The fact is that most of the 2.5 million men and women who work for the government are some of the finest and the most honorable people in this country. However, there have been some people in the government who have betrayed the trust that was placed in them. That has been true of all administrations throughout the history of the country. It is just as true in private business. It is true even in the United States Army. Wherever there are people who are in a position to have bribes offered them, some of these people are going to be weaklings. When we found such people in this administration, we have acted. And we have acted on the basis of facts and not on suspicion and rumor. Every charge has been investigated. The guilty people have been discharged and prosecuted when the facts warranted prosecution. Betrayal of the public trust is damnable, and those who are guilty of it ought to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, and as long as I'm president, there will be. People who gave the bribes and the people who took them should all be behind the bars. I know of nobody who's found a way to prevent some people from being or becoming dishonest. If anybody has a formula, I'm very sure that the American Bankers Association, for one organization, would pay a lot to get that formula. They have temptation in their business just as we have in the Internal Revenue Bureau. And last year, there were something like 600 defalcations and embezzlements in the banks of this country. One out of every 300 bank officers was found to be crooked. And the record of the Internal Revenue Bureau is a great deal better than that, I'm here to tell you. I most certainly do not condone dishonesty in government, and I do not undertake to excuse it. But I think you ought to get the facts about this, and you ought to have the facts straight. And I'm giving them to you straight from the shoulder. One of the first comments on the Internal Revenue Bureau and the government as a whole was made by your senior senator from North Dakota, who is a Republican. Senator Langer said on the floor of the Senate last October, and I'm going to quote him. This is Senator Langer speaking in the record of the Congress. Mr. President, he's talking to the President of the Senate, who at the time was Alvin Barkley. I have listened with interest to the distinguished senator from Delaware. Judging from his speech and from the various things we read in the newspapers, one would get the impression that the government officials are all a bunch of crooks and grafters. I wish to say that, in my opinion, federal officials today are just as honest as were the federal officials in 1926, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, and 32. It is only a very short time ago, under a Republican administration, and this is Senator Langer speaking, a member of the cabinet was sent to the penitentiary. I want the people of the country to know that I'm still quoting Senator Langer and that the senior senator from North Dakota believes that those who are today holding federal positions are as honest in proportion to the number of employed as they have ever been at any time in the history of the United States of America. When we consider that there are 2,500,000 government employees, it is natural to expect that there will be some delinquents. Even Christ had his Judas. These charges of corruption are doing much more harm to the government than they are doing good. That ends the quote from Senator Langer. Now, I'm only human, and I make mistakes like everybody else. Not half as many as they charge me with, but I make them. But I've been working for the people of the United States just as hard as I can. And I have been doing an honest job, and you know that. I've cleaned up corruption in the government wherever I have found it. But I haven't been satisfied with just getting rid of the wrongdoers. I have tried to improve the government's machinery for preventing corruption in the future. Do you know what the biggest trouble I've run into in doing that? It's the opposition of the Republicans in the Congress. They've voted against every reorganization plan I have proposed to take the government jobs out of politics and put them under civil service. I don't know why they did that. I guess they thought maybe they might win this year, but they're going to be disappointed. Now, they don't want to get rid of corruption. They just want to kick it around as a political football. The truth about the matter is that the special interest fellows who run the Republican Party are so anxious to get control of the government for their own purposes that they won't stop at anything. They did not pick one of their own gang to be their candidate for president. They knew the people would see through that. They picked a man who has spent all his life in the Army and doesn't know much about what they've been doing or about what's been going on in the United States. Then they swarmed all around him and they began selling him their special interest line of propaganda. He swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. And he's doing and saying exactly what they tell him to do and to say. He may not know it, but he's become the front man for the lobby. They are sending him around the country with advance agents to put up billboards and balloons and pass out confetti. Now, the Democrats never had the money to do that. No, they have plenty of money to put on these things. Wall Street bankers are just pouring out the cash. The Republican candidate has a sign on the back of his train which says, "Look ahead, neighbor." Well, that's not what the sign ought to say. It ought to say this: "Look out, neighbor." Now I'm going to tell you why. Let me tell you some of the things you better look out for. Are you a farmer? Have you been doing pretty well these last few years? Then you better look out, neighbor. The men who are going to write the farm ticket for the Republican candidate are no friends of yours. Do you own your own farm? Then you better look out, neighbor. The last time you had a Republican administration, farm mortgages were being foreclosed so fast you couldn't count them. Are you covered by Social Security or railroad retirement? Are you counting on that to help you in your old age? Then you better look out, neighbor. The Republican candidate for president said if the American people want security, the best place for them to find it is in jail. I don't believe you all want to go to jail under a Republican administration. Do you have a job? Would you like to keep it? Then you better look out, neighbor. There were 12 million to 14 million people unemployed in this country in 1932. You get good wages? Then you better look out, neighbor. The Republican politicians do not believe in good wages. They've been against every step we've taken to raise the wages of the working man every time it's come up in Congress. And above all, let me ask you, do you want to avoid a Third World War? Then you better look out, neighbor. The Republican candidate seems to be listening to some strange advice so far as foreign policy is concerned. These, my friends, are some of the real issues in this campaign. Don't be deceived by any smoke screen. Don't be misled by false propaganda. Don't turn this country of ours over to the special interests. Vote for the candidates who have your welfare at heart. And while you're doing that, you're voting for yourselves. And I, as I said once before, any farmer or businessman or a man who works with his hands for a living who does not vote the Democratic ticket this fall ought to have his head examined. And I'm out to examine it if he does it. The best thing you can do for the welfare of this country and for the peace of the world is to vote for Stevenson and the whole Democratic ticket this fall. Thank you very much.